it's just not possible to gain that much in value that quickly with declining revenue.
And that's when I really had the epiphany that investing was not about stocks and bonds. Investing is about innovation.
The belief is if there's a new piece of information, that it will be instantly incorporated into the price of the stock or the bond or whatever. But that's not how people change their minds.
Welcome back. I'm Hayden Brain, and you're listening to Opto Sessions, where we interview the top investors and business leaders from around the world, uncovering their secrets to success. You're listening to the second part of our latest compilation episode. This two-part episode concerns the topic of thematic investing. In the first part, published on March 21st and still available wherever you get your podcasts, we heard from leading investors from GlobalX, ARK Invest, and BlackRock, who told us how they invest in long-term secular growth trends. Today, we'll hear directly from thematic experts. Those investors or business leaders working or directly investing in a particular theme or industry. But how easy is it to identify themes that have disruptive long-term potential? Back in March 2022, Jeff Desjardins, editor-in-chief of Visual Capitalist, discussed his book, Signals, the 27 Trends Defining the Future of the Global Economy.
Out of the 27 trends that we have, probably 6 or 7 of them are directly related to technology, but probably 10 to 15 of them are indirectly related to technology because it's such a, it creates so much acceleration in how fast things change. But yeah, when you break it down, we ended up categorizing into 7 different categories. We have obviously technology is one of them, and we also have another topic that's related to that, which is just the digital world. We have the geopolitical realm, we have demographics in society. We have the financial aspect of things as well. We also have environment, which is an area that is front and center today as well.
Jeff outlined how to identify signals versus noise when searching for disruptive themes.
What we were looking at was, what are the things that are not up for debate in terms of how the world is changing? That was really the lens that we were looking through. How can you show something that is occurring right now and that's going to continue to occur that you need to know, but also that, again, it doesn't have it's not a hot take, it's not a prediction, it's not our opinion that, this trend is going to be big. It's something that's clear through the data that is happening and it's going to continue to happen. And this is going to affect the world. And if you are allocating capital, if you are trying to move to your dream job in 10 years, if you are trying to go somewhere, this is something that you need to know and something that is going to impact you.
Let's dive into a theme that gained a lot of attention and interest in recent years, genomics. In November, GlobalX's Pedro Palandrani explained how this theme proved to be highly disruptive, especially following the COVID pandemic.
Innovation is happening at a much rapid pace than ever. Like I mentioned before, that adoption of technology is really happening right in front of our very eyes. And we have a lot of many macro level events that are really accelerating all of that disruption. So for example, just a few years ago, we had the pandemic. It really showed the world that we needed cloud computing solutions, that we needed genomic editing really to really tackle very rapidly the issues around COVID-19. And now we're just starting to see many different genomic applications because clearly COVID-19, it was just one of those applications where gene editing proved to be very powerful.
In July, Ali Ehrman, ARK Invest's genomic revolution analyst, talked about the future potential of gene editing.
I think when you're investing in this theme, maybe it's not for the faint of heart, but you have to give around like a 5 to 10 year time horizon. And you have to keep in mind that most drugs take about 10 years from ideation to commercialization. So an expectation, I think, of around that long-term mindset timeframe should probably be applicable for a lot of these therapies.
Ali also highlighted her pick for the next big idea in this field.
Thinking of genomics, I like to just call it omics, right? Because there's proteomics. There's so much that goes into it. And I think the next frontier is really exciting. From a gene editing perspective, I'm still really excited about prime editing. I think being able to do large gene insertion is really interesting. And I think the amount of diseases that we'll be able to treat within a rare disease context is going to go up. And so if safe and effective, I think that's a really, really exciting technology. I think the idea of epigenetics is quite interesting and exciting, right? The idea that your behaviors, your environment, and things of that nature could actually maybe cause these changes that affect you on a DNA level. And I think that is pretty interesting. And the effect maybe, you know, how your genes are, how they work. And so I think that's pretty interesting. And I think that field of study will get more and more interesting as companies continue to proliferate and getting into that space. And, you know, obviously there's been a big increase in longevity interest. And so I think if we can create longevity companies and therapeutics that are safe and effective, but also are creating value, then I think that would be really interesting as well.
Another theme many of our guests are bullish on is AI. Recently, we spoke to Tim Bixby, CFO of Lemonade, a cutting-edge insurtech that's been revolutionizing the insurance industry with its innovative use of AI and machine learning.
There's a tendency to think of AI as having sort of a light switch effect, like there was before AI and now we're after AI. And particularly the last 6 months have really changed how people think about it and act on it. But in some ways, Lemonade from day one has been thinking and planning and architecting for this phase that we're in now and the phase that is to come, which is to say, we're built on a fully integrated digital substrate to enable us to use whatever the most data-driven, efficient tools available are to bring the product to the customers. And so it's in some ways, it's hard to say where data and technology and algorithms end and AI and machine learning begin.
Tim highlighted how Lemonade benefits from using AI in insurance.
There's some interesting benefits. One, having a single system that does everything creates tremendous visibility. So everybody at Lemonade who needs to see and should see data across the entire business can see it in one system in real time. And one of our tools that's built into that system is called Cooper. It's our own internal bot that helps us automate processes. So Cooper is this little, you know, it's a little avatar with a cute little face, but Cooper will show up in the morning and remind me to do something, remind me to send out a notice, remind me to do a performance review, remind me that something task-oriented within the company. We have a similar thing externally. We've got AI Maya, who helps us sell policies. So policies are sold in 2 or 3 minutes. And what's interesting is it's not a single approach to every customer. In many ways, it's a uniquely customized approach to every customer. There are tens of thousands of different pathways that each customer can take that adjust in real time based on their responses. So every customer is going to have a different set of responses and can take them down a different path. The ultimate goal is the same: understand their risk, price them appropriately, and ideally sell them a policy.
Last week, we spoke to John Champalier, the CEO of Sprott Asset Management. He talked about energy transition minerals and how decarbonization, more broadly, is another important theme to watch over the long term.
So I think the decarbonization, energy transition theme is not going away. So we're constantly thinking about new technologies. What other technologies do we think the world can commercialize and deploy at scale to help with the transition? So it's everything from small modular nuclear reactors to micro reactors to hydrogen economy to carbon capture technologies. I mean, we're looking at all of this stuff because we think there's a role for many of these applications. In the case of small modular reactors, I think that's a huge opportunity because many Western governments are going to embrace this. For example, Rolls-Royce in the UK is one of the companies in the world that is developing a small modular reactor and is asking the UK government for, you know, guidance and support to develop this technology because they want to deploy it. So there's a bit of a race going on right now with a number of companies. I think there are huge opportunities for SMRs to replace coal plants as they come to end of life. And I think that's the big idea over the next 10 to 20 years there. But we are constantly looking at what other kind of metals may become of more interest, you know, especially as scientists and researchers are constantly trying to bring costs down, changing chemistries of batteries, all those kinds of things. We're looking at all these trends.
Although thematic funds have been gaining increasing popularity, their underperformance in the last couple of years might have concerned some investors. Pedro Palandrani addressed these concerns.
From an investment standpoint, we are really seeing clients now more interested in thematic investing than ever before. Actually, in 2020, 2021, we had a lot of clients that believed in the thematic story, that understand that the future is going to offer many different opportunities, and many of those are really within the thematic ecosystem. but they were concerned about valuations, for example. Right now, when you see many themes like fintech, like cybersecurity, there are 30, 50% down in terms of valuation multiples, then it really becomes a very attractive investment opportunity, especially if you have that long-term horizon, right? Because like I said before, these are themes that are going to play out over the long term. And now that we have that kind of discounted valuation over the short term, it could potentially be a really good entry point for many of these thematic strategies. And something that we've realized is that thematic investing is not really about those short-term trends. You know, for example, back in 2019, we had a lot of comments around potentially like a trade war ETF because we have the so-called trade war between China and the United States. And potentially you could determine what companies could benefit, what companies could actually get hurt. But again, those are things that could happen in the very short term. We didn't have any sort of conviction in the long term that that could actually play out, especially around policies and politics. It's really hard to have a high conviction in something over a long term. And that's why we really focus, again, on kind of three major categories, like I said before, kind of disruptive technologies, changes in people and consumer behavior, and finally, kind of the physical environment and how it's transforming. If we focus on those different categories, I think we're going to have very good chances to identify many different disruptive or thematic opportunities over the long term.
A few weeks ago, Christian Magoon, the CEO of Amplify ETFs, also remarked that certain thematic tailwinds were not broken, explaining that instead they were slightly on sale in 2022 due to market dynamics.
All these, you know, themes and growth products did not perform well, Ed, in 2022. It didn't matter if you were growth, if you were thematic, especially if the theme, not all themes are growth, but most of them are, didn't work well. However, 2023, you know, the market's flipped upside down this year, really from 2022, at least so far, maybe not today as we're recording this, but we've seen kind of these themes and these growth companies really come back and rally strongly. You know, I think, you know, last time I checked, we had like five ETFs that have tripled the S&P year to date. And, you know, most of those ETFs did quite poorly last year versus the S&P. But again, the market's flipped on upside down. So we think over the long term, you know, you need to own, we think, these types of themes. And you have to look at it probably for a 3 to 5 year period. You know, any one year, these can be quite volatile. Even though they're fairly diverse in terms of their holdings, most of these ETFs have like 25 to 75 holdings. So they're fairly diverse in terms of their individual stock-specific risk, but they still are fairly concentrated in these themes. And, you know, all of them, at least that we talked about today, own, you know, their profile is, you know, high growth companies for the most part. So there are certain risks inherent in any concentrated strategy or focusing in a sector or an industry or a sub-industry or a theme. But we think those risks tend to be mitigated, at least the downside risks, over longer holding periods, because we do think these trends, you know, are very viable. And we think that they're not broken, for example, in 2022. Some people are like, are these trends broken? We're like, no, we really just think they're on sale a little bit, given market dynamics.
As a fascinating point to end on, let's hear BlackRock's thematic outlook for 2023. Jay Jacobs, the firm's US head of thematics and active equity ETFs, recently told us.
Well, valuations are a bit lower. We're seeing more dispersion across growth stocks. We're actually encouraging people to look beyond growth as well into thematic areas that exhibit, you know, some more value characteristics, but still have long-term tailwinds. And, you know, we really are thinking about this concept of resilience, of which areas can really weather this potential economic storm of high inflation and potentially low growth going forward. So we separated into three different areas, and we can dive into a lot of details about them. I think there's great, you know, stories and opportunities in each of them. But the first area would be looking at fiscal policy at a tailwind. So if we have high inflation, if we see consumption start to fall, who is the biggest consumer in the world? It's the government. Where they spend their money is going to have a lot of power in dictating, you know, kind of who succeeds in this environment. The second thing we look at is medical breakthroughs. There's a long pipeline of medical advancements that are starting to really come to the forefront in late stage trials or potentially FDA approvals, which gets us excited about innovation in the medical space. And then finally, we look at what we call technology staples, which are within technology. If you think about technology as kind of a spectrum, you have really out there moonshot ideas that could be totally disruptive, but may or may not pan out and have to have a lot of things go right to work out. At the other end of the technology spectrum are more tried and true technologies that are generating positive cash flows and still have significant growth opportunities behind them. When you think about it in that spectrum, we are more focused on those technology staples, the more proven technologies that still have growth ahead, because I think that's going to really give them some ballast during this economic environment. So those are really the three categories that we're focused on. You know, within each of those categories, we think there's several themes that really present interesting opportunities for 2023.
Most investors and experts we talk to underline that thematic investing centers on the ability to identify long-term secular trends. Guests also highlighted the need for deep research to understand the companies generating the majority of their revenue in a particular trend and to identify those firms most likely to have real staying power. In addition, despite generally witnessing a declining performance in thematic investments over the last few years, most guests remain confident about their high growth potential over the long term. Thanks for listening to the second part of our latest compilation episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Next, we'll collect insights from past interviews on investment themes in emerging markets. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening, everyone. Just a quick note before we sign off. If you're looking for an easily digestible daily update on the markets, this might be of interest. Opto Updates is our short newsletter sent every day during the trading week, giving you a bulleted list of the top seven stories from the global stock markets. We've done the hard work for you, highlighting relevant opportunities and trends. And in addition, we'll also keep you notified of any new products, stock reports, or webinars from the Opto world. If you're interested, sign up using the link in the show notes. And thanks also to CoFruition for consulting on and producing the show. Until next time. CoFruition.